Thank you. In the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach, we read the way Moshe Rabbeinu took care of Atmos Yosef. And the Pasuk says, Hashbea Hashbias B'nai Yisrael, Akeif Aloshen, that Yosef made his brothers swear to him that they would take his body back to Eretz Yisrael. Alisa Masatzmai Samizet Itchem. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch that's quoted from the Yudah Chosid. In the Sefer Hasidim, that it's not right to bury sonim next to each other. If they didn't get along during their lifetime, shouldn't be buried near each other. And over here, Yosef says, I should be buried itchem with you, means that he was Michael the brothers, that he was, ultimately, he was Michael the brothers before he died. Why does it say the Kefalosh and Hashbeah Hishbia? So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Hishbiyam Shehashbiyu as Benem. He knew that they were not going to live so long until Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the fact that they're going to swear to him, they're going to take his body back to Eretz Yisrael, is meaningless. They're not going to live so long. It's going to be a long galus. He made them swear that to make their children swear that to make their children swear that when it comes time for Yitzias Mitzrayim, they should take his body with them. So the in Europe in the 1930s, 1920s, 1930s, the Bochum and all the yeshivas used to send kashas to the Ragachover. Kashas and Shilas and learning and everything. They always give. They would always send a postcard that he should answer. So they had everybody asked all these kashas, and they had hundreds and hundreds of postcards. They printed many of the postcards. There's still many that were not printed yet. So one of the one of the Shilas that someone asked was, he wanted to get him involved in the politics. So they asked him, what does he say about the Shalva Shavuos? The Gemara says in the end of Ksugas that Pasuk is repeated three times in Shiar Shirim. That we're not allowed to force the issue of Hakamas HaMedina until the Gula comes. So they asked the Ragachov, what does he say? So he knew what the question, he didn't want to get involved. So he wrote a Shtikol Torah instead. So he wrote, oh, the Shalva Shavuos, he was always bothered with the Kasha. When were the Shavuos taken? Shirab Shirim is written by Shlomo HaMelech. Apparently already by the days of Shlomo HaMelech, a Shavuos had already been taken. They were not going to force the issue of Hakamas HaMedina. But the Ragachava said, I never took the Shavuot, my grandparents never took the Shavuot, so why is it binding on us? The Pasuk says here, Hishbiyam Shehashbiyu as Bnei'im. Shavuot is only binding if you took the Shavuot. You didn't take the Shavuot, so it's not binding. So why is the Shavuot that's mentioned in Shir Hashem, why is that binding on us? So he suggested, the Teretz is, that the Shavuot in Shir Hashem was taken after Matan Torah. And here the Shavuot, Hishbiyam Shehashbiyu as Bnei'im, this was before Matan Torah. Matan Torah was the Mitzaref of Klal Yisrael together. As it says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, Vayichan Lash Yochad Bel, Ki Shechad Belev Echad, Klal Yisrael became a nation, the Mitzaref was the Torah. The Gemara says in the end of Nazim, Perek HaKusim, the Mishnah says that by Nochrim, there's no institution of Naziris. The Gemara learns it Afem B'Pasik, that the Nazir is only one who belongs to its Tzibur. If it's a Nochri, doesn't belong to any Tzibur, he's an individual, he's all on his own, then there's no din of Naziris. So learn Afem B'Pasik. So Koyde Matan Torah, Bnei Yisrael didn't have that special status. There's a line in Emunas V'Deis by Rav Sadigoin. The Emunas V'Deis was written in Arabic, so we usually use the e-translation. So in the translation, it could be that it's not an accurate translation. But in the translation, what it says is, Eina Masenu Uma Ela B'Toyrosa, that the thing that's been Tzarif our nation is the Torah. That's Rav Soloveitchik always used to use that line in Emunas V'Deis and explain when you bench Rosh Chodesh. So the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah. What's the significance of holding on to the Sefer Torah? And you say, Chaverim Kol Yisrael. What do you say, Chaverim Kol Yisrael? What does it have to do with Kiddush HaChodesh? Because Kiddush HaChodesh used to be done by the Bez Nagorl. And they used to represent the whole Klal Yisrael. Now we don't have a Bez Nagorl. So the Rambam writes, and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and the Mishnah Torah also a little bit, he writes that Bez Nagorl used to represent Klal Yisrael. Now there's no Bez Nagorl, so the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh goes back to Klal Yisrael. So we hold on to the Sefer Torah. Eina Moseinu Uma Ela B'Tayrosa. Torah is Mitzarev Klal Yisrael. And we scream out, Chaverim Klal Yisrael, V'ol Mitzarev Yachatz. And all the shuls all over the world, the Jews declare, Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Wednesday, whenever it's going to be. So the Ragachover said like that also, that the institution of Klal Yisrael as a tzibur only came into existence after Matan Torah. So Shlomo HaMelech is talking about, Hishbati Eschemen Osu Shlom, Klal Yisrael took a shvua, the Torah is a tzibur, so that shuah is binding on all the Doris HaBoim. We're all part of that tzibur. But here, Yosef HaTzadik died before Maimon HaSina. So before Maimon HaSina, there was no Klal Yisrael. So there was no shuah HaTzibur, only shuah HaYochid. We have, this is the basis of Minhagi HaTzibur. There are Minhagi HaYochid, Minhagi HaTzibur. The Gemara says in the Dorim, on the Pei Amid Beis, where the Ran quotes from Tosfos, that's the way it's quoted in the Yerideya, that a minig tov is binding mitam neder. If a person would have taken a shvua, I'm gonna walk behind the Sefer Torah whenever the chazan carries Sefer Torah. So that's a minig tov. So that would be a good shvua. See, if he did it once and he intended to continue doing like that, or did it three times and he wasn't thinking one way or the other whether he intends to continue or not, so we say that demonstrates that that's what he has in mind. And since he had it in mind, so it's binding mitam shvua. So he never pronounced anything with his lips. The Gemara says in Shavuos, a person took a Shavuah in his heart, in his mind, it's not binding, he has to pronounce it. But if it's if it's Hegdish, so the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk of Divrei Hayom, Kol Nadiv Le'Avodas Aviv, if a person was Menadev Beliba to bring the Korban Olah, then it's Chal. So from that, we extend it when we say any nidre mitzvah achal b'leiv midirabbanim. In our Torah, it's only hegdish kol nidiv leiv oilus eviu. And then midirabbanim, the Gemara says that a minig toiv is binding mitam neder midirabbanim. That's beferish in the Gemara. There's a difficult shuva in the Chasam Sofer, which the Pesach Shuva happens, quote, the Chasam Sofer lived at the time that the Reform movement was just beginning. So first the Reform just started picking on Minhagim. They wanted to do away with kol nidre. Want to do away with little things. Kol Nidre is an embarrassment to the Jewish people because the Goyim claim that the Jews cheat in business. After they shake their hands and they promise that they're going to deliver merchandise at this price, then they back out. So they say, and the Jews back out because they say Kol Nidre and Erev Yom Kippur, so none of their obligations are binding. So the Reform said they got to do away with Kol Nidre. So it's only a minig, it's not a din. So it shouldn't be an embarrassment to the Jewish people. So the Rabbanim were tumbling about that. So the Chasam Sofer Reform, when they first started, they just picked on Minhagim. Now they violate everything. So at that time, the Chasam Sofer writes, no, how Chomer a Minig is, that a Sofik the Rabban Lekul and a Sofik Minig is Lechomer. Because the Minig is Mitam Neder and Neder is Chai Menater. So that's an exaggeration. We have many, many other tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer where he himself mentions that there's a din d'oraisa, then there's a din d'rabbanan, there's a minig. A minig is a lower level, lower than a din d'rabbanan. It's not that it's higher than a din d'rabbanan. There is no such thing that a sofik d'rabbanan l'kula, that a sofik minig l'chumra. A minig is only b'tam neder mid d'rabbanan. That's b'feirish in the Gemara. Bal yachal mid d'rabbanan. The Gemara says bal yachal mid d'rabbanan. So that's what the Rogatchova says. There's not only a minig hayochid, there's a minig hatzibur. If the whole community, let's say, the whole community waits 6 hours, the whole community yachsidim, they don't eat gebroks, whatever they. The Ashkenazim don't eat the kidneys on Pesach. So that's a minig hatzibur. So why minhagim binding mitam shvua, mitam neder? Who took the neder? It's not that the yochid took the neder. I didn't take the neder. My grandparents didn't take the neder. Neder was taken by a whole tzibur. So you see that there is such an institution of a shvua sayochid and a shvua sayochid. And the Chumash only talks about shvua sayochid. But Ishbati Eschem and Osir Shalayim, that Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, is assuming that there's such an institution as a shvua sayochid. Let's say sometimes when a person takes a neder or a shvua, he realizes that he fell in, and it's way too difficult to observe, and he says with all honesty that if I would have realized how difficult it's going to be, I never would have taken a neder. So then we have an institution of hataras nedarim. The pashtus is hataras nedarim is only shayach if it's a neder hayochid or if it's a minig hayochid. It says in Shulchan Aruch, a person has a private personal minig toiv, and it's too difficult, and let's say he always stands for kriyas haTorah, whatever. And now he's at 95 years old, he can barely stand at all, can barely stand for Shemana Esrei. So he wants to be Mata Neder. Wants to be Mata Neder. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you no longer want to observe the Minig Tov, so you have to be Mata Neder. What if it's not my Neder? What if it's a Neder, Gibrocks, let's say? So you are not the Balabas to be Mata Neder. You belong to this Tzibur, unless you get the whole Tzibur to be Mata Neder. How can you be Mata Neder? Let's say, I always wait 6 hours after Fleishik's now. From now on, I don't want to wait 6 hours. I only want to wait 3 hours or 1 hour, whatever. It's not your neder. It's a neder at tzibur. You belong to whole tzibur. Unless you change, unless you decide to convert, you want to join the other tzibur. Okay. You can become a Sfardi. You can become belong to the tzibur. Convert to become a yekke. Okay. So you have to take on all the minhagim of the yekkes then. you have to switch to be a member of a different tzibur. Because man, you remember this tzibur is not shach, you should make hachdorzenam. You're not the bala neder. The neder can only be undone by the bala neder when he comes to Bezin to be mata neder. The pasuk says that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, vayasev Elokim esam derech hamid bayamsu. What do you mean vayasev? He took them a little bit roundabout. He didn't take them directly. He took them roundabout. So there's a comment in the Medrash Rabbah in this pasuk by Yasev that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Bnei Yisrael eat the Haseba. That Haseba was only with free people. This is historically correct. I don't know. In the days of the Egyptians also they ate the Haseba. Was that only a practice in the days of the Romans? I don't know. But that's how the Medrash assumes. That in Egypt only the free people had Haseba and the Avodim weren't given the right to eat the Haseba. By Yasev Elokim, the Poshib Shat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him around about. But an additional level of interpretation is that he had an Esau to eat the Haseba as Bnei Chayrin. So in Shulchan Aruch, that will help understand something in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that Haseba is a Takonim Midrabbanon, you have to eat the Matzah. Haseba and two of the Arbekaisis, you have to have the Haseba. And the Gemara says, even though it should have been a mitzvah seseh shazban grom, women should have been potter, but because afen hai biyasana, so we machayv women in hesebe as well. Sometimes it does make sense, sometimes it doesn't make sense. If the wife is very kofuf to the husband, she never opens her mouth in the presence of her husband, then it does make sense that she should eat the hesebe. The Gemara says, if she's a liberated wife, if she's an isha chashuva, and the Rama says that by the Ashkenazim, all of our women are all liberated. So all the women are mechuyev in Haseba. So if all the women are mechuyev in Haseba, how come nobody eats Haseba? So how come the women don't eat Haseba? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, the women all rely on the Rav Yoh. What did the Rav Yoh say? The Rav Yoh says that the whole Haseba doesn't make any sense. Bizman is so uncomfortable. We don't eat the Haseba all year long. So it's Haseba is not to demonstrate Derecherus. So today doesn't demonstrate, doesn't indicate any derech eres at all. The Rav Yoh doesn't say it for women, the Rav Yoh says it for men. So how come only the women rely on the Rav Yoh, the men don't rely on the Rav Yoh? So why only the women rely on the Rav Yoh? So in yeshivas they say that the pshat is like this. The Chasam Sofer has a short tshuva in Chelek Arachayim. Could be the last tshuva, I don't remember. Where somebody asked him a kasha, if women are mechuyev in Haseba because afen hai b'yosanes, so how can women are mechuyev in tefillin afen b'yosanes? The pasuk says in this week's Sedra, "Leman tiyotos Hashem eficha kibyar chazaka otziach Hashem in Mitzrayim." The purpose of tefillin is to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. In the parsha of tefillin, it says about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So you should say women should be mechuyev in tefillin afen hai b'yosanes. So there's one taisvis, a different taisvis in where they talk about similar topic. So there's one Taisis, but Taisis, Afen HaBiyasanes is only a swear that works on a mitzvah derabbanan. It doesn't work on a mitzvah derais. If you say it like that, it's fine. But there's another Taisis, but Taisis says not so. Afen HaBiyasanes works on a level of derabbanan. It doesn't work on a level of derais, but on the level of derabbanan, it works benegeh to mitzvah derais as well. So why shouldn't we say that women are mechuyev and tefillin with derabbanan? Afen HaBiyasanes. So the Chasam Sofer gives a teretz. And basically what he says is, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said it over in a little sharper lashon, that there are two different concepts, the zechel anes and there's pesumi nisa. The only time you apply afen ha'bias anes to be mechayv women, if the nature of the mitzvah is pesumi nisa. So haseba, you're reading the haseba, or arbekaisis, you're demonstrating. That's pesumi nisa. Hadlokas neres chanukah, nikra megillah, you're demonstrating, you're being befarsam the nes. You read the whole Megillah, you light the candle, and say, I never saw Allah, the Madlikim, Allah, Nisim, Allah, the Flores. You're being the Farsim in the Nes. Tefillin, when someone sees a Jew wearing tefillin, that's not that's the first thing that comes to mind. Oh, he's demonstrating that he believes in Yetzias Mitzrayim. You have to open up the Batim and open up the Parshios, and it says they're about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you can't really say that it's Pesumi Nisa. Maximum you can say is that it's Zechel Nes. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave the mitzvah, the Mantia, Teras Hashem Eficha, Kibiyat Chazaka, that it's Zechel Nes. So, afin ha'ibes ha'nes only applies when the nature of the mitzvah is pesuminis. When it's only zechel ha'nes, it doesn't apply. That's what the Chasam Sofer says in different words. He doesn't say it exactly like that. That's the whole difference between, let's say, the Beis Halevi has a tshuva where he wants to distinguish between edus likim adov and edus labir adov. So these terms, were coined by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, his son. They said, lady, each time he wants to talk about it, so he said in the same shulchan, each one takes a sentence and a half. What is l'kiyam adav, what's l'biyadav? So that's the whole, one of the chidushim that Rav Chaim developed was terminology. That you say the kids, so you use two words. Eid is l'kiyam adav, eid is l'biyadav. You just say an expression which has a whole connotation, which has a whole meaning to it. So the Chasam Sofer says the same answer, but he doesn't say that lashon. This is pesumin nis and this is zechel anes. But that's basically what he says. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik added on, and how can you tell when any given mitzvah is pesumin niso or zechel anes? So he said, you only say the bracha shasa nisim when it's pesumin nisim. So you recite the bracha shasa nisim on Chanukah in connection with Hadlokas Neres Chanukah, and on Purim in connection with Mikra Megillah. And on Pesach night we have pesumin niso by the Abrakosis and the Hasebo. So we say the bracha, Asher Ge'olanu, B'gol HaSav Seinu Mim Mitzrayim. So the Rishonim say Asher Ge'olanu takes the place of Shosan Nisim. So these four mitzvahs, this Haseba and Abrakosis, and Mikra Megillah, and Hadlokas Neres Chanuk, these four are Pesumin Nisim. You have others that are Zechel HaNes, but they're not really Pesumin Nisim. So the Rav Yoh was of the opinion that since Bizman HaZeh nobody eats the Haseba all year long, and it's a nuisance, and it's very uncomfortable, so no one is mechuyav to eat the Haseba. So the other Rishonim assume that even though Haseba today doesn't accomplish Pesumin Nisa, but it's still Zechel HaNes, based on this Medrash, Vayasev Elokim Mesa'om, Derech Hamid Bayam Suf, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Bnei Yisrael eat the Haseba, if you should assume that that's historically accurate, that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the free people in Egypt ate the Haseba and the slaves didn't, and now Bnei Yisrael were freed, so they ate the Haseba. So the men are mechuyav to eat the Haseba on Pesach night, Zechel HaNes. Haseba for the men is Zechel HaNes, but women are not mechuyav in Zman Groma, if it's only Zechel HaNes, only if it's Pesumin Nisa. So everyone accepts the Rav Yoh, that Bizman HaZeh, there's no Pesumin Nisa, because it's so uncomfortable. But the men are still mechuyav to eat the Haseba on Pesach night, Zechel HaNes. Zechel HaNes, you're not mechayiv women. Women are only mechayiv after the Haseba HaNes if the nature of the mitzvah is Pesumin Nisa. So that's what the Rav Yoh says, that Bizman HaZeh, you can't say it's Pesumin Nisa, it's so uncomfortable. We're not demonstrating Derech Eretz. The maximum you can say is that it's Zechel HaNes. There's a Mishnah in Sukkah where the Mishnah says that when they used to do, when so many people would be in Beis HaMikdash on Sukkah participating in Hoshainas, so one of the tefillahs that they would recite was, Ani Bahu Hoshiyano. What does it mean, Ani Bahu Hoshiyano? So Rashi quotes a fantastic pshat on the Mishnah based on a Zohar on this pasuk. I think that's the only place where Rashi. He doesn't hear it from the Zohar, but the only source that we have is the Zohar. That we have three psukim in a row in Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Yutes, and the next two psukim. Three psukim in a row, they have 72 letters in every pasuk. So Rashi says if you take the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the second pasuk, the first letter of the third pasuk, that's one of the 72 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that consists of three letters. So Ani, Aleph Nun Yud, is one of these 72 names. You have to take the second letter and next to the last letter of the second pasuk, and the second letter from the beginning of the third pasuk, and so on. Ani is one name of Hashem. In Bahu, Vav Hei Vav, is another name of Hashem. So Ani, Bahu, are both shemes of HaKadosh Baruch. So that's based on the Zohar in this pasuk, that these three psukim, in consecutive psukim, which have 72 letters, are teaching us all of these 72 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a different thing. Hashem Ben Ayin Beis Osias, that's a different thing. A name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has 72 letters. How can you pronounce such a long name? So the Rambam writes in the Mo'en Nevuchim, it's not one word. It's a whole paragraph. It's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a name like Yud Kei Vav Kei, Ralef Dalet Nun Yud. It's a whole paragraph that describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that the Shem Ayin Beis is a higher level of a name. Rashi on the Gemara learns that the Shem Ayin Beis is a more choshev a name than Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Rambam says, no, it's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a whole paragraph describing. We have a very widespread minig that when they sing, when the Balkori reads Oz Yashir, so he sings to the niggin, a marching niggin. instead of laning with the regular truck. Then we have two psukim here. The hamayim lahem chayma miminam mimismalam appears twice. So most have the minig that the second time that it appears, right before Vayosha Hashem Boyamahu, Vayosha Hashem Boyamahu is right, that's two psukim right before Oz Yashir. So right before Vayosha Hashem, it says, Mamayim lahem chayma miminam mimismalam. So most places the minig is that the chasen sings, Vamayim lahem chayma miminam mimismalam. Rav Soloveitchik said that when he came from in Europe, the meaning was that they did not, they would sing that to the regular trup. They would sing the earlier pasuk, "Ma'im lahem chayma," to the special nigan of later. Why dafka the earlier one? Why it makes more sense the later one, because it's closer to Oz Yashir. So he pointed out that the spelling of the word chayma is different. The second time it's spelled medavav, and the Medrash comments that it was loshen chayma. The earlier time, the first time it says chayim, it's spelled chesvav memhe, that the water was like walls on the side. And then the second time, it's spelled ches memhe chaser chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at Bnei Yisrael because they were taking pesel micha through the kriyas yamsuf as well. So you don't want to sing to a happy niggin the pasuk that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was molly chayim and Bnei Yisrael. But the first time that it appears, I'm chayim chesvav memhe. So the minig where he came from in Eastern Europe was in Lithuania that they sang the earlier one to the fancy nig, to the cheerful nig. Different minhagim. This institution of Shiras Hayam seems to indicate that the Torah records that this was the instinctive reaction of Bnei Yisrael that they offered a Shira. There is a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer where he writes that the reciting of Halal on Chanukah is a din d'oraisa. So the Netziv in his commentary on the Shultis disagrees with the Chasam Sofer. So because he's disagreeing, that's why he has to disagree with respect. So he writes Hagoyim Hatzadik Chasam Sofer. Usually, just writes Chasam Sofer. Doesn't write Hagoyim Hatzadik. But because he's going to disagree, he quotes Hagoyim Hatzadik Chasam Sofer. Writes that as d'oraisa. He says, with all the respect, it's against the Gemara in Brochus on Daf Yudalid, but the Gemara is beferish that it's only the Rabbanim. The Mishnah says in Brochus, the beginning of the second Perek, Perek HaYikore, person's in the middle of Kriya Shema, he's either Ben HaProkem or Ben Tzah Perek, either between Shema V'Yom Shema, between V'Yom Shema V'Yomer, and someone comes into Shul, so to what extent is he allowed to greet him, Mishum Kavod HaBriyas? Mepnei HaKavod, Mepnei HaYira. What if the person is in the middle of the Parsha? So there's less of a heter to be mafsik, yeah. So this, where does this heter come from? Who gives you the right to be mafsik at all? So Tosfos says it's all based on the pasuk v'dibarta bam, where the pshuto shel mikra v'dibarta bam means you should talk and learn it. You should say kriya shma. And the additional level of interpretation is you should talk in the middle of kriya shma. You should be mafsik. You have to talk. So achiev, you have to be mafsik. What do you mean achiev to be mafsik? Mishum kaver abiyas, you have to be mafsik. So the Gemara has a shaila that the Mishnah records a machlek zamer ibuda. To what extent are you obligated to be mafsik mishum kavod habris and lekriya shma? What about halal on Chanukah? Should I say it's a kavod chayim? Kriya shma is deraisa. The pasuk said v'dibarta bam. You have to be mafsik mishum kavod habris. Halal on Chanukah is only the rabbanon. You sure you should be mafsik? Or maybe I should say no. Maybe halal on Chanukah, even though it's the rabbanon, on the one hand it's less chomer, but maybe it's more chomer because halal on Chanukah is for the purpose of pisumi nisa. So maybe there, if you'll be mafsik in the middle, you'll ruin the whole element of isuminis. Gemara says that it's the same. Gemara said you could be mafsik in the middle of halal to the same extent that mafsik in the middle of kriyashma. But the Gemara said the first, the halal chanukah is only the rabban. So the Netziv disagrees with the Chasam Sofer. But the Chasam Sofer is based on a Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yudalad. The Mikra happens to be the same Daf, but a different Mesich. This is in Brochus Daf Yudalad. That's in Megillah Daf Yudalad. Gemara Megillah Daf Yudalad says we should derive from a Kal V'chaymer. When they saw recited Hallel, they recited Oz Yashir on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Gemara says it should be a Kal V'chaymer that we should recite Hallel on Purim. So what do you mean? This a din? That was their instinctive reaction. They said Hallel. So you see the Gemara holds that that's a din. The Chumash records Oz Yashir, implying that is the din. You're supposed to have such a reaction. And therefore the Gemara says, based on the Midrash HaTorah and the Bereshis Ben Kal V'chaymer, we should make a Kal V'chaymer they weren't killing the Jews over here. It was only Me'abdus L'cheiris, they felt obligated to recite Hallel. So Me'mamis L'chaim L'koshken. On the occasion of Nes Purim, they wanted to kill everybody. L'hashman Har L'abdus Kola Yudim. They wanted to kill everybody. Kavachaim, you should say Hallel. The Gemara gives three explanations why you don't say Hallel on Purim. But the Gemara thought to be Dana Kachaimer from the Parsha of Oz Yashir. Even though it doesn't say in the Chumash, they should say Hallel. It doesn't say that. They did on their own. This was an instinctive reaction. But the fact the Chumash records it indicates that it had the approval of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, and that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to. So then it says, yes, that's Hallel B'Shas HaNes. Hallel B'Shas HaYeshua, that's a din derais. Hallel L'Chanukah now is Echel HaNes. It's not B'Shas HaNes. So Hallel Echel HaNes, that's the Gemara and Brochas, Daf Yedala, that's only the Rabbanu. Hallel Anyantav is the third din. Hallel Anyantav is not Hallel connected with HaNes. Hallel Anyantav is just that of Simchas Yantav. That's how the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvos interprets the whole Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud, that there's Simcha on Yontif, there's one kind of Simcha, Agash Mizdika Simcha, having Basa V'Yayin, then there's a Ruch Mizdika Simcha, reciting Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hallel on Yontif as a form of fulfilling Simchas Yontif, that's a Machlokes, the Rambam and the Bahag, whether that's the Reis or the Rabban. The Bahag made a list, Bahag preceded the Rambam. Bahag lived in the days of the Gaonim. So the Bahag is of the opinion, Bahag wrote a list of the Taryag Mitzvahs, that's what the Halachas Dervis is. It's a Sefer HaMitzvahs. So he counts Hallel on Yontif as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. So the Rambam makes fun of the Bahag. Everybody knows that Hallel is only the Rabbanan. How can he include Hallel in the Minyan of Taryag? So it could be that the Bahag is of the opinion that you should include Mitzvahs, the Rabbanan as well. Or the Ramban suggests in the Sefer HaMitzvahs in defense of the Bahag. Maybe the Bahag is of the opinion that Hallel on Yontif is their Isa. So that's a machlokes. Hallel on Yontif is their Isa. But Hallel, not on Yontif, but Hallel at the time of an Nes. So that's what the Netziv says. Hallel B'Shas HaNes is their Isa. That's based on a record, the Chumash records Oz Yosher. And Hallel Zechel HaNes, every consequent Chanukah, Zechel to the Nes that occurred in the days of the Chashmonai, that's only the Rabbah. So three different, there are more, but there are at least three different dinim of Hallel. Hallel B'Shas HaNes, Hallel Zechel HaNes, and Hallel on Yontif out of expression of Simchas Yontif. The Pasuk describes that Yam Suf, the water was flowing, and then there was Kriyas Yam Suf, the water stopped flowing. And then after, and everything was dry, and then so went by Abasha B'Soch HaYam, and then the Mitzrim went in on the dry land, and then Vayoshav HaYam L'Esonai, and everything went back to what was happening before, and the water was flowing again, and the one of Mitzrim drowned. So the Medrash comments and Vayoshav Hayom le'esano, Vayoshav Hayom lifnos boker le'esano. Esano means to its original strength. Eson Moshevecha, Es strength. So the Medrash comments that Eson is the Osias Tanai. Aleph Yud Tav Nun. The same letters as Tav Nun Aleph Yud. Tanai Hisna Kodesh Baruch Hu in Maisa Bereishis. When the Rebbeinu Shlom created the world in Sheshis Mei Bereishis, so the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos tells of all of the things that were created. Er Shabbos Bein Hashmashos means the last moment. On Shabbos, after the 6 days of Bria, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't create anything anymore. So the last moment, Er Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, last moment of the Sheis Mei Bereishis, Kodesh Baruch Hu created all the Nisim that are recorded in the Tanakh. So he made a Tanai with the Yam, that when Bnei Yisrael should arrive at the Yam should split. So Vayoshev Hayam le'esano litna'oi, that Tanai hisna Kodesh Baruch Hu in my Yam. And the same is true regarding all of the Nisim. Not that the Rebbeinu Shlom is changing Teva now. Whenever there's an Eis Nigle, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is all part of the Neis of Bria's Olam. When the Rebbeinu Shlom created the world, he created, that was a fantastic Nes, Yesh Me'ayin. So when he created the world, he built in a clause and fine print like you have in a contract. You have fine print in a contract. So he built in a clause, a Tanai, that Korach Vadoso, if they'll be over here, they should all get swallowed up by the earth. And so on and so forth. All of the Rambam has all arichas about this in the Shemona Prokim, introduction to Pirkei Avos. So he writes that all of the Nisim Guluyim are all part of the Nes of Bria's Olam. A Nes Nister is a Nes that Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing right now. In a certain sense, a Nes Nister is greater than a Nes Nigla. Because a Nes Nister, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing the Nes now. And Nes Nigla, that's part of the Nes of B'yoshamayim Boretz. That's an old Nes that happened centuries ago, millennia ago, at the time of Bria's Oil. The Chayyodom had a son by the name of Moshe who died, I think, at Purim. And at the end of the Chochmas Sodom, he complains about the Chevra Kadisha in Vilna, that they didn't know the dinim and they did Keneged Halacha. And he has the Matzeves Moshe. He has a few Shabbos and Chubbos and Hilchos Avelos in memory of his son Moshe. Then he put out a whole Sefer in memory of his son, Zichu Toras Moshe. It's the Kitzur of Hilchos Shabbos. He has all the Lamitas Malochas there. And in the Hagdamah to the Zichu Toras Moshe, he recommends that one should go through the Hagdamah during Chodesh Elul. It's Musa, Yerushalayim, Emunah, Hashkafah. So he has an interesting point. He says the Rambam recommends in Hilchos Deos that a person should never be extreme. He should always go with Derech HaMemutza. Should always go the middle of the road. Yeah. They complained against the Rambam, Mashal. Complained against. That was an Italian Jewish philosopher. Who complained against the Rambam that everything he writes over there is straight from Aristotle. Why did he quote so much from Aristotle? So they wrote in defense of the Rambam, Maritz Chais writes in defense of the Rambam, some of the Lashonis of Aristotle, but the whole concept comes from the Gemara, the first daf in Saita. The Gemara says, Haroi Saita bikulkula yazaratzma minayayin. Under normal circumstances, you should lead a normal life. You shouldn't become a shikr. But you shouldn't abstain from drinking completely. You shouldn't always be eating and drinking and be 500 pounds overweight. And you shouldn't be skinny. You should eat normal. You shouldn't do anything to an extreme. But Haroi Sata Bil Kukula, if you live in a generation where there's a lot of preachers going on, we live in a generation, many Saitas. You read every day in the newspaper, the first page, always some story about an Ashish Sishin Zinsa. We see many Sata Bil Kukula. So a person has to go to an extreme. But on the normal circumstance, you shouldn't go to an extreme. You should always go with Derech HaMemutza. So the Rambam got it from the Gemara. The Rambam uses the Shaitis from Aristotle, but the concept appears in the Gemara. And then the Rambam understood that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Levitus is Yavna Omer Miod Yod Miod Miod Hevish Val Ruach, that the Tana is telling us that when it comes to arrogance and humility, you should go to an extreme. Why is that so? Manishtana, this is a midah from the other midah. So the Ursa Meyach and the Rambam comes to answer a kasha of the Lecha Mishnah. The Lecha Mishnah asks that there's a steer between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis in Hilchos Deos. Perek Aleph, when the Rambam formulates this klal, should always go b'derech hamemutza. So the Rambam gives examples. He gives an example. Arrogance, humility, go in the middle. Then you get to Perek Beis. The Rambam says, miyod, miyod, hevi shval ruach. You should go to the extreme. You shouldn't go in the middle. So it's a steer. So Lech Mishneh asked the Kashi, doesn't have a teretz. So the Yosemech writes on the Rambam, look in the Pirush HaMishnayis of the Rambam on Pirkei Avos and everything will be Miyushal. What does the Rambam write in Pirush HaMishnayis? He writes that Rabbi Levitus, who said, Miod, Miod, Heb Shvaruch, that's Exeira de Rabbonim. On the level of the Raisa, the Din is by arrogance and humility, also you go in the middle. But a person who holds so much from himself, a person who's arrogant, won't be able to gauge where's the middle. He's so full of himself, he's going to think he's a big onuf, that most arrogant people think that they're extremely humble. So that's why the Tana made Gzera D'Rabban. It's very hard to gauge where the middle is, so tell everybody they should go to the Gzera D'Rabban. Just like I have Gzera D'Rabban, that you're not allowed to eat chicken with milk, and there's Gzera D'Rabban, you're not allowed to carry a caramel. So you have Gzera D'Rabban when it comes to Halachta B'drachov, to meet us also, Gzera D'Rabban. So the Chayyodim somehow didn't understand like that. Chayyodim doesn't answer the steer in the Rambam, but he understood that the reason why you have to go b'derech hamemutza and all the other minutes is because of halachta b'drachot. In Tanakh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as having both midas. How can you fulfill the halachta b'drachot? Tanakh describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being happy and being sad. So you have to go b'derech hamemutza. You have to go in the middle of the road. When it comes to gaiva, the Tanakh never describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being arrogant. So the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of Halachta B'drachov is miyod miyod hevish val ruach. The din that you go b'derech hamemutza doesn't apply here because the Tanakh never describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being arrogant. But what do you do with this pasuk? Asher el Hashem ki go'oy go'oh. That means he was arrogant. So the Chayyodim points out in the Hakadamah to the Zichu Taras Moshe He says, look in the Targumunculus. Targumunculus says, Ki goigo are izgoi al gepsanaya. It's not that he acted in an arrogant fashion, he deflated the egos of the arrogant human beings. Not that he was a Balgaivan. And he thinks, Chayodim thinks that you have to interpret the Pasuk, Hashem al geis lavesh, also in the same way. It does mean geis lavesh, that he acts with arrogance, means he deflates the egos of the human beings who act with arrogance. This is all because he understood that, not like the Ursa Mech, Pirush HaMishnah, he understood that Miod Miod Hevish Valbroch, because the Tanakh never describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being arrogant. Kamokam Shantamotzik B'dolos HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in speaking about how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, then Shama Tamotzik HaMasunus, then the Tanakh always writes how humble he is. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is never described as being arrogant. So we, if we want to fulfill V'alachta B'drach, V'alachta B'drach means HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us all B'tzelem Alekim, V'alachta B'drach means we should preserve the B'tzelem Alekim. So to preserve it means to go to an extreme when it comes to humility. You have the famous pasuk, which the Gemara talks a lot about in the Shira Sayam. Zekei Levi Anvehu. How do you translate the word Zekei Levi Anvehu? So the Targum Onkelos, Rashi points out, the Targum Onkelos translates Miloshen Nove. Nove means a home. Zekei Levi Anvehu, the Targum Onkelos says, Ve'evne Lei Beis Magdush, I will build a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Gemara doesn't talk about Epshat, that's Targum Onkelos has. Then the Gemara has in Perek HaBlez and the Mila Masech, the Gemara has two additional Pshatim. Zekei Levi Anvehu Miloshen Noi, when I will perform mitzvahs, I will do the mitzvahs. This noy lefon of the mitzvahs. You should do mitzvahs in a beautiful fashion. Just like we wouldn't walk around with shoes that are rubbed out. We would polish our shoes. We are neat with our clothing. So a person shouldn't say, my tefillin are kosher, so what do I have to make it so snazzy? What does it have to be so fancy for? No. Just like we would insist on making our clothing fancy, so the talis should be fancy. Talazekel should be fancy, the tefillin should be fancy. The Gemara says you have to have a Sefer Torah Noe, and a Ksav Noe, and a Chachayno B'Shirayim Noim. The mental of the Sefer Torah has to be pretty. That this Pasuk, Zekei Levi Anvehu, is the mocker of the din of Noye Mitzvah, his Noye Lefon of the Mitzvah. Then the Gemara has another interpretation, a third interpretation, the Anvehu Anivahu. What do you mean, Anivahu? Other Tanoim say the same idea based on the Pasuk Halach the Bedrachav. We should preserve the Tzelem Alekim that was implanted within us when we were born by going in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ahu Racham, Afator Racham, Ahu Chanon. So other Tanoim learn it after this Pasuk. Zekei Levi Anvehu Ani Bahu. I will imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to preserve the Midas of Elokus that I have. This din of Noye Mitzvah, it's not a part of the mitzvahs. So they have the Shiurim HaRavelvela Soloveitchik HaMaseches Nozir are available in the stores. So they quote on the first daf in Nozir, the second daf in Nozir, that he raised the question, what's the nature of the din of Noye Mitzvah? Is it that you have a mitzvah tefillin, a mitzvah to have a sefer Torah, a mitzvah to have tzitzis, a mitzvah to have a sukkah, and then there's general inyan to do all the mitzvahs in a bekavadiga fashion, to do hider mitzvah. Hider mitzvah is a way to demonstrate Avas Hashem, to demonstrate that you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you go out of your way to do all the mitzvahs in a beautiful fashion. Or should I assume, perhaps not so, that the din of hider mitzvah is a prat within each mitzvah. If you have tefillin mehudarim, that's an added kiyum, it enhances the mitzvah of tefillin. If you have a sukkah in Noah, it enhances the mitzvah of sukkah. Each mitzvah, when you do a hider mitzvah, that mitzvah enhances the kiyum of that mitzvah. So Adalvala quotes several rais from the Gemara to the second way, that it's a din prati in each individual mitzvah. So he quotes one Gemara, the Gemara in Reb Lezer de Milo, that we mentioned before, Zekei Levi Anvehu. One Tana said, Ani Bahu, and one Tana said, Vaveu Hisnoil in front of a mitzvah. So what's the context? What is it doing in Perek Reb Lezer de Milo? So the Gemara says, in order to do a Milo Kshera, to do a Bris Milo, you have to cut off Basar Chayfez Reif HaTorah. You don't have to cut off all the skin. You just have to cut off so much skin that Reif HaTorah is Megula. Like it's what the HaTorah is, but whatever it means, you have to cut off Reif. And then the Gemara says, but it's going to look awful. You're going to have a little bit of an Orla, and then it's going to, 90% of the Orla is removed, 10% of the Orla is going to remain. So the Gemara says, Mitam Hida Mitzvah, you should cut off even the 10% as well. It's not the fun of a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, let's say the moil cut off on Shabbos. Let's say there's a bris milah on Shabbos, and when you cut skin, it's going to cause bleeding, and bleeding is some kind of a malacha or another. That's the Gemara that we're up to now in Ksubas Daf Hei. The Gemara says that there's some kind of a malacha involved, chabura, some kind of a malacha or another causing bleeding on Shabbos. So if you got, so he already, the moil already cut off 90% of the orlam. So mikaredin, he's yotze the mitzvah of milah. So if he didn't put on the bandage yet, lo silik yadai, then he's chozer on the tzitzin sheimak benes amilah. We tell him be mechal Shabbos some more, cut off the 10% that it should be a hida mitzvah. So if hida mitzvah is an outside mitzvah to show avos Hashem hida mitzvah, outside mitzvahs are not dechah Shabbos. Bris milah is dechah Shabbos. Another mitzvah is not dechah Shabbos. So it would appear from the Gemara that the hidur mitzvah, to do the mitzvah, the hidur is not the fun of the mitzvahs, and hence is the mitzvah of milah itself. And since milah is dechah Shabbos, so to do them, to perform the milah bishlei musa is also dechah Shabbos. Also allowed to be mechal Shabbos to do to cut off the 10%, even though he already finished cutting off the 90%. Then he quotes another similar Gemara. There's a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says when you hold on to the lulav and the esrog, you shouldn't have a chatzitza. That's why the minig is that the women take off their rings and the men take off their ritzuos of the tefillin before they say halal, because they're going to hold the dalaminim, so they shouldn't have any chatzitza. So the Gemara says, but the container itself is a chatzitza. You have the hadasim on this side, the rabbis on that side, the lulav in the middle. The whole thing is in a container. So the container itself is a chatzitza. Gemara says, no, the reason why we have the container is to have a noye mitzvah. Gemara says, Rabbi says, kola na'oso eina chotzitz. Since you have this container holding everything together as a noye mitzvah, so that's not considered a chatzitz. They said, the Rabbala said, the first pshat in the Gemara is that the noye mitzvah enhances the mitzvah of dalaminim, so it blends in to be a chelik, an integral part of the mitzvah of dalaminim itself. So that's why it's not considered a chatzitz. If it would have been a separate mitzvah to demonstrate Avos Hashem by always doing all the mitzvahs in a beautiful fashion, then it should have been a chatzitz. That's exactly what the Gemara says, not a chatzitz. Now he quotes some other sources also that all seem to indicate like that, that the hida mitzvah blends in to be a chelik of this mitzvah. It adds a kiyum in the mitzvah.
Were the words in the Shira, do we assume it's actually the words that Bnei Yisrael said, or is it just the Torah's way of recounting?
Right, the Ramban HaChumash writes that whenever the Chumash quotes anybody, he's saying anything, it's not necessarily what that person said. Not going to quote, not going to distort what he said. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he dictated in such a way that it should say what he wants us to know, what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to know. It's not necessarily what they said. It's the gist of what they said. That's what the Ramban writes about Zoch V'Shamar. There's a contradiction. The Ramban is on Parshas Yisro. There's a contradiction between the way Shabbos appears in Parshas Yisro and the way Shabbos appears in Parshas Veschanan. So the Gemara talks about this contradiction. Zoch v'shamer dibrechanam. So the Ramban asks, why were they only worried about Zoch v'shamer? There's several other contradictions between the text of the Aseres HaDibros as it appears in Parshas Yisro and as it appears in Parshas Veschanan. You can't say this with the Luchas v'shaynis. That's the Luchas Shnius. It says in Luchas they have exactly the same wording. And both of them were exactly the same. So he says, Ramban says, that neither text is necessarily what it said on the Luchas. The text, the Chumash gives you the gist of what it said. So you can't ask any kai, how come it's a slightly different Nusachim there? That's not a kash. But Zohar v'Shamer, that's a major contradiction, because Zohar is a mitzvah saseh and Shamer is a mitzvah sloy saseh. So if the Chumash gives you the gist of what it said, so what was the gist? Was it given as an essay or as a loy saseh? But the rest of the contradictions, that's not a kash. And the same is true regarding the whole Chumash. But whenever the Chumash, whenever the Tanakh quotes someone as speaking, is not necessarily verbatim what he said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, write it in this text, that Bnei Yisrael should learn Adinim from the way it's written. We're not learning Adinim from the way Bnei Yisrael said, we're learning Adinim the way the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu to record it in the Chumash. What does it mean by Yamina Bashem of Moshe Avdoi? Right before the Shira, Yamina Bashem of Moshe Avdoi. They believed in Hashem, they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu? How do you translate the words? Hashem is invisible, so you have to have emunah in Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is there in front of your eyes. So I remember when I was in high school, the Rebbe translated, that just like they saw Moshe Rabbeinu in front of their eyes, so too they believed in Hashem, even though he is invisible, they believed in him, that he exists, to the same extent that they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu existed. Otherwise, what does it mean in the pasuk? Amidim Hashem ev Moshe Avda. The beginning of that pasuk, Zekele v'anvehu l'keyavi v'roi m'menhu, so that we spoke about the word v'anvehu, but what does the whole pasuk mean? Zekele v'anvehu l'keyavi v'roi m'menhu. So Rashi Yachomish quotes from the Medrash, most of the Rashis are quoting from Midrashim, that lo bi tchilas ha-kedusha, the Klal Yisrael have a kedusha. When we damish manes, we say Elokeinu, Elokei Abiseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yankif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elokeinu, and then we also say Elokei Abiseinu. We have Kedushas Yisrael because we are descendants from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankif, and we have Kedushas Yisrael because we are medaktik and mitzvahs, we made a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rashi writes. The Kedusha Yisrael didn't begin with me. It began to have it be Rusha from our forefathers. But it's also Zekeli. Each person makes a bris with HaKadosh Baruch. We have dinim. Sometimes we have halacha that a mumer is dina kakam. A Jew who worships Avodah Zarah has a din like a goy. So the Gemara and the Rishonim have a whole discussion. To what extent does he have a din like a goy? I'm allowed to sell a chametz to him. He's a goy. I'm allowed to have him as a Shabbos goy. He should turn on the lights on Shabbos. Not allowed to. He's Jewish. I'm a barber. I'm not allowed to shave off his payas with a razor. He's Jewish. But he gets a certain dinim, his dinim ka'akum. So those dinim that depend on Kedushas Yisrael from the Ovis that he has. His mother was Jewish. His grandmother was Jewish. He's Jewish. But those dinim that depend on Zekeli, this is my God. I accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that. If he's a mummer, he's dinim ka'akum. So the one Kedushas Yisrael he does have, the other Kedushas Yisrael he doesn't have. The two elements to the Kedushas Yisrael. The Gemara in Ksubins that we're up to on Daf Hey, the Gemara comments on the pasuk Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yodecho, that when the Rebbe created the world, he created it with one hand. But when the tzaddikim build the Beis HaMikdash, Baruch Shalom has to give them koyach, has to help them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it with both of his hands. When there's a shutfus, the Baruch Shalom wants Bnei Yisrael, human beings, not only Bnei Yisrael, Baruch Shalom wants human beings to be shutfim with him in creating the world and improving the world. So when he created the world, he did it all by himself. So that's with one hand. Everything was easy. When he has the tzaddikim, b'mishatev pula with him, so then it says, konenu yodecho, he uses both hands to indicate that when there's a shutvut with human beings, then it's g'doy l'maisa tzaddikim yoyesel l'maisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now Soloveitchik has a drasha, I'm pretty sure it's published among the collection of published drashas, that how come they only recited Oz Yashir on the occasion of the Kriyas Yom Tov? Why did they say Oz Yashir? Kriyas Yom Tov was on Shvi Yishol Pesach. Why didn't they say Oz Yashir when he left Yitzias Mitzrayim in the morning? Leil Makas Pchares, then the next morning they all left. So they should have said Shira then. So he said, yeah, I had to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they especially thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu now on the occasion of Kriyas Yom Tov, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mati Tzak Alai, Dabel Bnei Yisrael V'Yisrael, we want the Bnei Yisrael to participate in the Kriyas Yom Tov. Baruch Shalom said, let them walk into the water and then it's going to happen. And Tzias Mitzrayim, they hardly did anything. But on the occasion of Kriya Samsa, they had to walk into the water first. So we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the fact that he allowed us to become shutvim with him in performing this ness. Also, Rashi pointed out that we usually assume that brachas achreinus are the rabbanon, except for bread. So why is it that bread is a bracha deraisa? Because you have to have sidur de pas, you have to have 11 malachas. Human beings have to be a lot involved in making bread. You have to harvest it, you have to plant, you have to harvest, and you have to grind it up, and you have to do lisha, and you have to do afiyah, so many different malachas. So we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the bread, more so than over fruits and vegetables, because we became a shutuf with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave us the zchus to become a shutuf with him. That's the concept of shlichus. Rav Soloveitchik has an essay that's entitled Shlichus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Bo el Paro, the beginning of Parshas Bo. What do you mean, Bo el Paro? Should have said, Lech el Paro. The answer is no. Bo el Paro means come with me to Paro. The Baruch Hashem is going to be there. come with me to Parsa. What does he need Moshe Rabbeinu if he's going to be there? Usually you send a shliach. I'm not going to go to the other location, so I send a shliach, you take care of it. But if the Ribbono Shel Olam is going anyway, so the Ribbono Shel Olam can tell Paro, you better let Bnei Yisrael go free or I'm gonna punish you. So what does he need Moshe Rabbeinu for? He wants to give human beings a schia. They should become shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They should become shutfim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a concept in the Gemara, shluchu shel Olam kemoisai. So Reshik said, b'derech malitza, sort of, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a person as a shliach, the person is elevated, it becomes a higher level, it becomes like kemosa, it becomes in a certain sense a shutif with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shluchu shel Olam kemoisai. So this was what happened over here by the Shiras Hayam. The Yam, Kriyas Yamsuf had to have, that's the Loshan that Tzar calls it, the Sarusa de la Tata. They had to have Hisarus Milamato, that the Nachshon Ben Aminadav, Hoyz Yehuda Lekotcha, Nachshon Ben Aminadav, was Nasi Shevet Yehuda, he had to drop into the Yamsuf. The Baruch Shalom said, Dabro Ben Esau B'Yisau, let him walk into the Yam. And then we're going to have it split. He's not going to do the Nes until we do our share. So that's why there was more excitement on this occasion when this Hatzolah occurred, because this Hatzolah, we were, in a certain sense, we're a little bit shutfin in the Hatzolah. The last pasuk, the Gemara has a din of Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara has, I think it's Daf Kuf Beis, Daf Kuf Gimel. We used to have a Rebbe, and Yeshiva, who said you can know the first 100 blot Masechah Shabbos, you still won't know the Aleph Beis on Shabbos, because the curse of Aleph Beis on Daf Kuf Beis. You know the first 100, you didn't learn about Kesev yet. So the Gemara has the Emperik HaKesev and the Dinam of Ksiva, Daf Kuf Beis, Daf Kuf Gimel. The Gemara says there are different parts of the Sefer Torah. Some have to be written as Shira, as poems, poetry, and some have to be written as prose. So if you write the Shira Sayyab is written, Ariach HaGabi Levena, Levena HaGabiach, you have empty spaces in the middle, like a poem. And if you write it all straight, it'll be puzzle. And the rest of the Sefer Bereishis Baravakim is written as prose. So if you write that with empty spaces all over, that'll be puzzle even by the end. So here, the last pasuk is a major machlokes. Kivosus para birichbo v'farosha bayom. Whether it's supposed to be written Ariach HaGabi Levena with empty spaces or no. Hashem Yilmelech Yonavod is the end of the Shira goodbye. And then Kivosus Parai is a historical comment. That's a historical footnote. This Shira was recited when Paro went into the Yamsuf and the old drum. So this is a big shaila how it's put here. Some of the Sefer Torah have it written like Shira, some have it written like prose. That's Machlekes, and it's Machlekes Likuvah. The Sefer Torah will be puzzled if you did it wrong. So half of the Sefer Torah are going to be puzzled. Usually people are worried about Petsuadaka, that some spell with an aleph, some spell with a hey, and Sefer Torah Shechasarachas is puzzle. So half of the Sefer Torah are puzzled because of the Petsuadaka story. So that is how do you say a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah? There's a 50% chance your Sefer Torah is puzzle. So that we discussed. The Minhas Chinuch came up with a chiddush to save all the Sefer Torah. He said the word patsua daka, they're both correct spellings. Whether aleph or hey, they're both correct. Daka with a hey is the Hebrew spelling, and daka with an aleph is the Aramaic spelling. And they're both acceptable in the dictionary. If you spell a word wrong, means you have a mistake. Let's say bishalach, you always spell the word bishalach with a chaf instead of a ches. So that's a mistake. You spell noyach. Noyach is spelled with a chaf, and noyach with a long nun instead of a small nun. That's mamshin error. But psuadaka is even if you spelled it wrong, it's supposed to be an aleph, but if you spelled it the reverse, it's not in accordance with the masora, but a dictionary, based on a dictionary spelling, either spelling is correct. One is Hebrew, one is Aramaic, either is correct. Yeah, so that the Minchas Chinuch saves all the Sefer Torah. So he thinks that the Sefer Torah Shechasar Esachas means if it's a misspelling based on the dictionary, if it's a correct spelling based on the dictionary, just that it doesn't conform to the Masorah, that doesn't pass over the Eved. But this thing Mar says does pass over the Eved. So the last Pasuk, Kivosus Paro, is a major Machlaikas. The Don Gon says it's supposed to be written like Shira, and others hold it's supposed to be written straight. So that's a major question. I don't know how can anybody say a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah? The 50-50 chance of your Sefer Torah may be possible. That the Minchas Chinuch didn't address. Pasuk continues to say, "Vayochel shlosha yamim." They were traveling in the midbar. There was no water to drink. The midbar is dry. There's no water. So then they found the water. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma says that there's an additional level of interpretation here in the pasuk. Vayochel shlosh yamim v'lamotzu mayim means that eimayim al Torah, that they went 3 days without any public shiur. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana. Moshe Rabbeinu makes a takana. It's only din derabbanan. It's not a din deraisa. The Rabbanu Shlom says a din. That's a din deraisa. Even though the pasuk is merames to the takanas Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's merames to a takana derabbanan. It's Moshe Rabbeinu with Rama writes Moshe beis dina. Moshe Rabbeinu with his bezin made a takana that you shouldn't have gimel yam. You shouldn't have 3 days go by without kriyas hatorah. So we have Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. So you don't have 3 days go by without Limud HaTorah. Let's say there was a snowstorm on Monday and nobody showed up in shul. So would it make sense to lane on Tuesday? Because they lane Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, then you go to Sunday to Monday to Tuesday. Tuesday is the third day. So that's a machlokes achreinim in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, the first simon. So some achreinim say, yeah, the takana was you shouldn't go 3 days without learning. So if nobody showed up in shul, they didn't have Kriyas HaTorah on Monday, you should take out a Sefer Torah on Tuesday and late. The generally accepted opinion is not like that. The reason for the takana was shalayochus shlosh yam b'lo Torah, but the takana was to learn on Monday and Thursday, and you don't revert back to the reason. You don't say let's learn on Tuesday that it shouldn't be shlosh yam b'lo Torah. We would assume that would be a bracha of atola because everybody already said b'chas haTorah in the morning. If it's the day on which there's a takana, so then there's a takana you have to learn Kriyas HaTorah. The Netziv has a tshuva to the community in Chicago. Someone donated a Sefer Torah to the shul and had a whole on a Sunday, and everybody has off from work. So they were dancing and singing with music and a procession in the street, and then they came to shul, so they decided they're going to auction off the aliyahs, they're going to learn Kriyas HaTorah on a regular Sunday, make some more money for the shul. So someone said, what do you mean? You can't say Baruch Lev Atola. So they said, what kind of Baruch Lev Atola? You always say, whenever you have Kriyas HaTorah. So they sent to Shaila, that apparently there are not enough Talmid Chachamim in America, but they sent to Shaila to Valojin. So the Netziv wrote a tshuva in the Meshiv Dover. So he thinks that it is a Baruch Lev Atola. He thinks that if you're going to lane on a day when there's no Takanas Chachamim, then it's a Baruch Lev Atola. But if you lane, let's say, would have been on a Rosh Chodesh, or would have been on a Monday, and everybody heard Kriyas HaTorah in shul, says to lane a second time, the same day, he thinks there would not be a bracha levatola. A day on which there is a takonas chachamim, to lane Kriyas HaTorah, there would not be a bracha levatola. That's what we do in the Maisan at Tainas Sibur. Medina the Gemara would appear in the Gemara that they only used to lane on a Tainas Sibur to Mincha. And the Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, that was instituted by the Ge'onim. So who gave the Ge'onim the right to institute the Kriya should be bracha levatola? So according to the Netziv, you can understand it it's a little better. It's a day on which there is a takana to have Kriyas HaTorah. Same thing on Leil Simchas Torah. Many communities, they take out a Sefer Torah and they lane. V'zayis HaBrocha. This didn't exist in the days of the Gemara. This was instituted way later. Way later, way later. Many communities don't have that minix. So where did it come from? So the Marsham has a tshuva. He says, it's a day on which you lane in Kriyas HaTorah. Simchas Torah in the morning, you got to lane V'zayis HaBrocha. So you can lane any time in the day. He proves, the Marsham proves on that, under the communists, after the communist revolutions, they forced everyone to go to, forced all the Jewish children to go to secular schools on Shabbos. So the religious children didn't take any notes, they didn't carry anything, they didn't write, they didn't do malachas, but they had to be in school all day. So in the winter, when the days are short, so they couldn't daven tefillah b'tzibur, so they daven nimikin classes in the hallways, whatever, but they couldn't have kriyas HaTorah. So they said, Shaila had a shot. Can they be yotze Kriyas HaTorah on Friday night? So he has a tshuva. He thinks that yes, that Friday night belongs to Shabbos in the morning. L'chatchila, the Kriyas HaTorah should take place in between Shachris and Musaf. But if you want to, if for some reason or another he can't, so he can learn Kriyas HaTorah after Musaf, he can learn Kriyas HaTorah before Shachris. So he says he can learn Kriyas HaTorah Friday night for Haraya, but that's what we do on Simchas Torah. We learn V'zay Sabrocha on Leil Simchas Torah. Then you learn it again in the morning. You lay more than once on the day on which there is a takanas chacham. You lay more than once. The Ramo writes that there was another minig that they wouldn't lay mizayis habracha. They would lay parshas nedarim. They would lay parshas nedarim. So the Mishnah Berurah says that some people who didn't know what the minig was thought that you take out a sefer Torah, you lay parshas matos, parshas nedarim. What does it have to do with simchas Torah? So he says no, parshas nedarim means, that's a Yiddish expression, means the aliyahs, the fat aliyahs that they auction off to make a lot of money. They charge nedarim. So Yitn Lecha Elokim, Etal HaShemayim, Abizayis HaBrocha, all the psukim. By some chassidim they do like that. You have to have a good balkari. And Leil Simchas Teret Elein. The kohen gets one place and the lady gets a different place and the shlishi gets a different place. They lay in different places. All psukim of brachas. Yes, yeah, so that's a question. What is that all about? I mean, a day on which is a takana, is a Torah, you can lay whatever parsha you want to? I don't know. That's a problem. What's with the kriya on Simchas Torah? They quote that the Vilna Goen used to take the first aliyah on Leil Simchas Torah. Because Medina de Gemara, Tamachachim gets the first aliyah if he knows how to learn better than the kohen. So the Goyim did away with that din in the Gemara. They said it's going to cause machloikas. The Goyim is going to think he knows how to learn better than the Talmud Chacham. They're going to cause machloikas. And made a takana, the Goyim always gets the first aliyah. So the Vilna Goyim said, but the minig of Kriyas HaTorah and Leil Simchas Torah didn't exist in the days of the Goyim. So the takana of the Goyim never was chal on that. So when it comes to Leil Simchas Torah, you go back to the Ikrit, the din of the Gemara. If you're laying a new Kriyas HaTorah, you revert back to the din of the Gemara that the biggest Talmud Chacham gets the first aliyah. So the Gro took the first aliyah on Leil Simchas Torah. Rav Soloveitchik didn't do that where he lived. He didn't take the first aliyah. But I never noticed this. I was there once, I didn't notice it. So one of my chaverim told me that Rav Soloveitchik used to be the gabbai, only on Leil Simchas Torah, and he would choose for Shlishi whoever he thought was the biggest Talmud Chacham in the shul. Because that's Medina de Gemara, the same people get the aliyah every day. Biggest Talmud Chacham gets the aliyah, and then after him, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, Shi. Every week, the same people get the aliyahs. So he would, for the same reason as the Vilna Gaon, that on Leil Simchas Torah, that kriya didn't exist in the days of the Gaon, so there never was any takana on that. So you revert back to the din of Gemara. So they revert back to the whole din of the Gemara that the Talmud Chacham gets the first aliyah. That far not. He didn't want to do like that. But the biggest Talmud Chacham in the crowd should get Shlishi. So that he used to do. To give it to the biggest Talmud Chacham in the shul. Pasuk says that when they came to the city Mora, the water was bitter, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to make the water sweet. And it says in Mora, Sham Sam Lachok Mishpat, Sham Nisohu. So the Gemara says, Bemora Nitztavu Ala Dinim. They were given dinim. They were given mishpat, they were given mishpatim. The Gemara says, dinim is one of the seven mitzvahs ben enoch, so they had it already from centuries before. What do you mean they were given dinim? So the Gemara says, la nitzricha elo le knosses. By ben enoch, they don't have knas. Knas is only by bnei Yisrael. Either that, or inami, the Gemara says that you need a bezn of chav gimel. That by ben enoch, a bezn of echot is enough for dinim nevashim. By Yisrael, you need a bezn of 3 for mamonis and a bezn of 23 and nefasha, so that's what it means, dinim. The dinim means a special kind of a bezin that was given. So the pasha pshat is that that's what it means, mishpat. Yeah, what does it mean, chok? So that's why Rashi quotes from a medrash. Question, where the medrash is? Rashi quotes a medrash that por aduma was given. The Gemara in Babli it doesn't say. But apparently there's some midrashim say like that. That chok means por aduma. Yeah. Then it says in the Aseres Adibas, in the Lucha Shnias it says like that in Vaschara. Kashet Tzivchas. What does it mean, Kashet Tzivcha? As I told you in the Lucha Shnias. No. The Lucha Shnias, Lucha Shnias said exactly the same thing. Everything was exactly the same. Kashet Tzivcha means prior to Maimon HaSinai. So when was Kippur Aviyem given? So apparently the Gemara says it was given Bimara. Kippur Aviyem was given Bimara. So where does it say that in the Pasuk? It says Chok U'Mishpot. So Mishpat means Nitztavu B'mor, Nitztavu Aladinim. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Sugya B'nei Noach. And Chok, Rashi quotes a Medrash that refers to Paraduma. Some say that the Paraduma was a mistake. That Rashi wrote Kibbut Aviyem, Chaf Aleph, and they made a mistake. They made it to Pei Aleph, and Pei Aleph became Paraduma. But others say no, that there is such a Medrash, Paraduma. Chok, Zoch Schulkas HaTorah, refers to Paraduma. So if Chok is Paraduma and Mishpat is Dinim, so where do you see Kibbut Aviyem? So Rabbi Yosef Engel died 100 years ago. So when his mother died, he put out a sefer called Shevda Nechemta. 7 essays that he should have a Nechama over the Ptira of his mother. It's on Agadita. most of his Svarim are halachin, and some are agoda, some are kabbalah, heavy kabbalah. So he has a lot of agadate and kabbalah here. So he suggests that maybe chok mishpat, chok is paraduma, mishpat is dina, maybe chok mishpat goes on kibbut avyein. How so? So he says that there is a discussion in the poskim, in the Minchas Chinuch, and the Maamshik, and others, regarding the nature of the mitzvah of kibbut avyein. Is it ben adam l'chaveiro? Do we owe a debt of gratitude to our parents because they brought us into the world and they raised us and so on? Or is it not really ben adam l'chaveiro hakor satav, rather ben adam l'amokim? Because the Gemara says shlosh shut from yesh ba'odam. The Gemara says in the sugi of kibbut avyein, the end of the first perek in the Kiddushin, shlosh shut from yesh ba'odam, so if we'll show kibbut to the parents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would consider it as if we were mechabed him. He's the invisible shutif. And if we'll be mezalzel in the kibbut of the parents, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would consider it as if we were mezalzel in his covenant. So Rabbi Yosef Engel, so the poskim discuss it. What's the nature of kibbut avyein? Nafka minas l'dina. Rabbi Yosef Engel says, well, there's a Gemara in the end of the first perek in Erevin, but the Gemara says there was a debate for 2.5 years between the Bishama and Bishulah. In addition to all the other debates that they had, there was machlokas going on for 2.5 years, whether it's noach la'adam shenivra or noach la'adam shelo nivra. Is it better for man that he was brought into the world, or better for man that he was not brought into the world? After 2.5 years, they all came to the conclusion, noach la'adam shelo nivra. Would have been better that man should not be brought into the world. So what do we owe a debt of gratitude to our parents? We should sue them. Are you talking? They brought us into the world. They did us an avla. So Tosfos says, how can you say that it's ben adam l'chaveiro? We don't owe a debt of gratitude. But Tosfos says, I'm not Gemara, there's a little Tosfos. Tosfos comments that the whole debate that the Bishamim Psil had, that's by an average person. But if he's a tzaddik, ashrei lo v'ashrei ledoro, it's his praises and the praise of the whole generation that he was brought into the world and he did all these wonderful mitzvahs. So the nature of the mitzvah of kibbut avyeim should really depend on who we are. If we're nobody special, then it's a chok, then it's ben adam l'mokim. But if we are tzaddikim, then we owe a debt of gratitude to the parents, because ashrei lo v'ashrei ledoro. So then it's going to be a mishpat. So chok and mishpat means chok paraduma, mishpat means dinim. A chok and mishpat is one mitzvah, which is sometimes a chok and sometimes a mishpat, namely kibbut avyeim, that for a shvacha person, for an average person, it's a mitzvah bin adam l'mokim. We don't owe a debt of gratitude to the parents. But if the child is an unusual tzaddik, then the mitzvah of kibbut avyeim will be a mitzvah of mishpat. We owe a debt of gratitude to the parents. That's Rabbi Yosef Engel's suggestion. Then the Torah tells about the mon coming down. Mon came down, and Erev Shabbos, a double portion came down. So we have a Takanas Chachamim to have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, Seicha Lamon. And then the Pasuk says, Hichlu Hayom, Kishabbos Hayom Lashem, Hayom Lashem Zuhu, Basoda, the word Hayom appears 3 times. So that's why the Chacham made a takana that we should eat Shalosh Sudas on Shabbos. Some Rishonim hold that 3 Sudas is a din deraisa. The Pashtus says that just like the Lechem Mishnah is only the Rabbanan, the Pashtus says the Shalosh Sudas is also only the Rabbanan. In the first edition of the Yad Scroll on Nezmiris, they had a major mistake. They were doing the work very quickly. So they quoted an Orach HaShulchan who quotes that the Pasuk says by the Hamon, says by the Mon, so the fellow who read it thought that had something to do with Haman. So he wrote in the English in the first edition of this Miris that we have Lechem Mishnah and Shalosh Sudas because of Haman. The next edition they corrected it. It had to do with Haman, not the Haman. It had to do with Haman. But are women mechuyev in Shalosh Sudas? It's a mitzvah saseh shaz magram. Are women mechuyev in Shalosh Sudas? So the Koel just completed learning Perek Hamadir. It's a black and white, a Beferish Gemara in Hamadir. The women are Mechuyiv in Shalosh Sudas. Doesn't say in the Gemara Beferish where the women are Mechuyiv in Lecha Mishnah. So that the Rishonim came up with that. So the Ran in Masechah Shabbos, Perek Kol Kisvei, where the Gemara talks about Shalosh Sudas. So the Ran quotes the Rabbi Natam that women are Mechuyiv not only in Shalosh Sudas, as the Gemara says in Hamadir, women are Mechuyiv in Lecha Mishnah as well. And the Rabbi Natam says the reason why, because afin hoy biyosanes, the whole the two takonas, the Rabbanon of Lechem Mishneh and Shalosh Sudas is all zeichel amon, and the mon was a miracle, so the miracle applied to the women is equally as to the men. So we say afin hoy biyosanes. So the Ran disagrees with Rabbi Natam. The Pashtus is, let's say, if we want to distinguish, like we said earlier, from the Chasam Sefer, from Moshe Soloveitchik, that Afen Habiyos and Nes only applies when there's Pisumi Nisa, not when it's only Zechel and Nes. So when someone sees you eating Shalashuta, so the first thing that comes to mind is the mon. And when they see you taking two chalas, everybody's going to realize, oh, Zechel amon. It's L'chavit Zechel and Nes. It's not Pisumi Nisa. Pasha, not Pisumi Nisa. Rabbi Natam clearly doesn't seem to agree with what the Chasam Sefer said with this word. So the Rabbi Natam says, women are mechuyim lach mishnah shalashut because afen habiyos anes. The Ran disagrees with Rabbi Natam. He thinks that there's a better reason. Could be that he holds Rabbi Natam's reason is incorrect because it's not pesumin nisa. He gives a different reason. He says, zachav v'shami b'dibur echad nemru to make a hekesh. Hekesh is kol sheyeshna b'shama yeshna b'zachav. Shamer is a loisesi. So loisesi, even as magram with women are mechuyim. Women are on the part of mitzvah. Shaz magram. Mitzvah loisesi is magram with women are mechuyim. The Zoch v'Shama b'Dibrecha Nemru were proclaimed together, that constitutes a hekesh. So since the women are mechuyev in Shamar, that's a lav. Yishama peri al is a lav. The women are mechuyev in the essay of Zocher as well. So the Ran says it's not only Zoch v'Shama. Zoch means to say kiddush. Means everything on Shabbos is one package deal. The kedusha sayyam of Shabbos is mechayev in all the mitzvahs. So since the kedusha sayyam of Shabbos is mechayev in isa malocha, mechayev the women in isa malocha, mechayev the women in reciting kiddush, says mechayev the women with the rabbanon in shalashudas and lechem mishnah. It's all included in the zochah b'sham. Could be the Rabbi Natam didn't say that. Could be the Rabbi Natam feels that zochah b'shamar is a special hekish only between kiddush and malocha. Could be that it's only kiddush and malocha. Could be that reciting kiddush is sort of the brichas hamitzvah for the mitzvah of shvisim and malocha. That could be. There are some Rishonim who hold Tesis and Ksubis Take. Tesis and Ksubis holds that the Zman of Tosefis, Shabbos, Tosefis Yontif, is only relevant for Issa Malocha and reciting Kiddush. You can't do the mitzvah of Yeshiva Besukah, you can't do the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, can't eat matzah, you can't do other mitzvahs during the Zman of Tosefis. Other Rishonim say not so. If you mekabel Pesach early, you can eat the matzah and the morah and the arba, you can eat the korban Pesach when the sun is still shining. And Earth Pesach can eat everything during this Zman of Tosefis. But we don't follow that opinion. We assume that that you can't be Yotzei Korban Pesach during this Zman of Tosefis. And as far as Suda Shabbos, that's a machlok. Let's say in the summertime, when a lot of people are Makabel Shabbos early, so the Gemara says they can say Kiddush when the sun is still shining. You can be Yotzei Kiddush during this Zman of Tosefis. And Tosefis has two opinions. The Tosefis on the first mission in Arvei Pesachim has two opinions. Can you be Yotzei Suda Shabbos during this Zman of Tosefis? So some hold that you're not Yotzei during this Zman of Tosefis. You have to save a little challah to the end when it stays al kochavim. Then you have to eat your kazayas or whatever you want to eat. Kibetzah, Yotzei Mekibetzah. You have to eat that balaylo. I remember a few years ago I was invited with Rabbi Sobolovsky to visit in the yeshiva in East Berlin. It was springtime, I think. I don't remember exactly when it was. And the shkia was very late. Shkia was something like 9:30, and I think the Tzeisek Chavim was after 11, something very late. So Tzeisek Chavim was very late, something like 11. And so on Erev Shabbos, they davened Mincha, then they said Kabbalah Shabbos, then they had me give a shia for an hour, and then the sun was still shining. The sun was still shining after the shia, a long shia. And then they daven Ma'ariv, and then they made Kiddush, the sun was still shining, they made Kiddush and they ate. So I saved a little challah till the end of the meal. So at the end of the meal I had some challah. So the rabbis rotate over there who eats with the Talmidim. So one of the rabbis was sitting next to him, he also saved a little challah till the end. So I didn't think it was my place I should announce, I'm just a guest there. The Rebbe didn't announce to the students what they should do. So he left a little challah, I left a little challah. So at the end of the night, we both looked at our watch before we benched. And then we saw it's already Tzeisek Chavim, so we both had a chunk of challah. So the Talmidim noticed something strange. How come both of us ate challah at the end? After the whole dessert, acharik echlos hakol, both had challah. So they came and they asked him, what's going on? So he explained it's 2 days in Tzeisek. So Taz says you should be machmeh for that day. Even if you start eating mibod yom, you can be yotzei kiddush doing this man of Tosefis. That's a gemara. Kiddush is connected with malacha. Tosefis is benegir to malacha, and kiddush is connected with malacha. So that's a gemara. Whether you yotzei suda Shabbos or not, that's 2 days in Tosefis. So one should be machmer. So it could be that the Rabbi Natam doesn't agree with the Ran. Could be Rabbi Natam holds that Zocha v'shama doesn't go on all the mitzvahs hayam. It's a connection only between malacha and kiddush. Could be that he holds not like they run. Anyway, they both agree that women are mechuyev in shalashudas. That's the gemara. Women are mechuyev in shalashudas and alachamish. Shlomo Kluger lived in Galicia by the chassidim. So by the chassidim, the women don't eat shalashudas. The women are not makbet on alachamishna. The women are in the kitchen. The husband says amoytzi. And then when the wife comes in, she takes a slice of chal, she does not have two shleimas. She does not yotzei lachem mishnah. The Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva to defend the practice. So he says, well, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran disagree with each other. So the Ran holds the Rabbeinu Tam is wrong, the Rabbeinu Tam holds the Ran is wrong. So you follow each one, they're both wrong. So he left with nothing. Left with nothing. So Chacham Avadi has a tshuva. How did it become that you left with nothing? What are you talking about? Well, he waved the magic wand over here. They both said the same thing. Allah said, women are mechuyev and lechem mishnah and shalashudas. They gave two different reasons. Each one disagreed on the other one's reason. But bottom line, they both said the same thing. Women are mechuyev and lechem mishnah and shalashudas. So Chacham Avadya Taina, that's not right. But by the chassidim, they don't have the women eating lechem mishnah or shalashudas. We have an institution of Tanakh. How did the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah know that they had a right to add on the Nevi'im Ksuvim to the Kisvei HaKodesh? Moshe Rabbeinu was given, he was dictated the Chumash. How did they know they should add on? So the Rambam has an interesting Kiddush to all the Sifrei HaTanach, the end of Hilchos Purim. All the Sifrei HaTanach will be bot losi lot. So the Yosef Mech writes, apparently the whole institution of Tanach is a Hirashua for a few thousand years. Losi lot, when Mashiach will come, everything will be bot. Except for Megillah Esther, so that's separate. That's separate. But how did they know they had it right? The Raivid disagrees with the Rambam. So the Raivid assumes that it's a real din, the Duris. There's an institution of Tanakh. How did they know they had a right to add on? So I remember I once heard a talk by Rav Simcha Wasserman, who was the son of Rav Hanan Wasserman. He used to have a little yeshiva in Los Angeles. So he said the Gemara had a tradition in connection with the Pasuk in the end of Parshas Amalek, in the end of Parshas Bishalach. So the Gemara says, Ksov, Zos, Zikorim, Basefer. So Zos is a reference to the Chumash, Zikorim is a reference to Nevim, and Basefer is a reference to Ksuvim. And the Gemara says that the story of Amalek, Mochemus Amalek, has to appear in Torah and in Nevim and in Ksuvim. So this was told to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell over to Yoshua. Oyama Shama Moshe, tell us over to Yoshua, to the Chachamim and the future generation. There are going to be three parts to the Kisvei HaKodesh. So three things, Zos, Zikorim HaSefer. Where do you see Zos and Zikorim HaSefer? So Zos could be the Kedushas Lever, I believe. Yitzchak Berditchever has a comment on the post and beginning of Parshas Matos. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifrei. That all of the Nevi'im introduced their prophecy by saying Koy Amar Hashem, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, he says Zeh Hadov Asher Tziv Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes Koy Amar Hashem, and a lot of times he says Zeh Hadov. What's the difference between Koy Amar Hashem and Zeh Hadov? Zeh Hadov is direct dictation, word for word, letter for letter. Koy Amar Hashem means the Navi was shown a chazon, a mare, a chalom, and he had interpreted using his own words. He says Koy Amar Hashem. This is approximately what the Rabban Shalom says. So the only Navi who was given Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi. It says Mahalosha Peh El Peh Adababa. He was given direct dictation. So Zos maybe is a reference to Chamishu Chumshi Torah, like Zehadover. This is direct dictation, word for word. What is Zikorin? What is Basefer? So the Gemara says Zikorin is an allusion to Nevi'im, and Basefer is an allusion to Ksuvim. What exactly is the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? So the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim that the Nevi'im Nevuah is slightly higher level than Ruach HaKodesh. The Ksuvim are Ruach HaKodesh, and the Nevi'im were B'Nevuah slightly higher level. So the quote that Rav Chaim thought, not like the Mor Nevuchim, Chaim thought that it's a different difference, that the Novi is Miloshim Bori Nivs Vasayim, Tenuva in Eretz. Tenuva means Paris, something that gives up. So the Novi was told the Nevuah to be delivered to someone else, to be delivered to B'nai Zot, to be delivered to the Zoylam. And Nevuah means to be delivered. To say it over. And the Ksuvim were Nitnu Lehikosev Melech HaTchil. It wasn't Nitan Le'yama, it was Nitan Lehikosev. Not necessarily higher level of Ruach HaKodesh, lower level. maybe the same level, but the difference between the Nevi'im and Ksuvim is that the Nevi'im, the Nevuas, were initially Nitan Lahayomer. So it could be that that's what the Gemara meant, Zikaron means Lahazikir. The Gemara understands Parsha Zohar, Zohar is Shrasa Lachamalik, Zohar Bepeh, and Zohar is Yamashabis Lakacha, Lahazikir, to mention, to recite Kiddush. In the same thing, the Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Megillah, says that where does it say in the Megillah you have to lay in the Megillah? It says, Shalach Manas, Matanas, Lagyanim, and Suda's point. Where does it say you have to lay in the Megillah? It says, Ayamim Ha'ela, Nizkarim Vina Asim. The Gemara says, Nizkarim means the days are spoken of. Lahazikir. Lizkar means to remember, Lahazka means to mention. So the Gemara has such an understanding of Zohar Shamus Rapshul Kasha doesn't mean remember the day of Shabbos, means mention the day of Shabbos, recite Kiddush. Zohar Shamus Rapshul Amalek, mention what Amalek did. Because it says, right, Eloi Sishkach, don't forget. So they understood Zohar means Lahazkir. So here also could be that's what the Gemara understood. Zikaron means Lahazkir. That's the Dibri Hanavim, which were Nitnu Leheyomer. And by Sefer is a reference to Ksuvim, that it was Nitan Lahikasev, it wasn't Nitan Lahayom. Could be that that's what they demarred by this. Not Stam, there are three words in a row, and Tanakh has three parts. So he said, the three words refer to the three parts. No, Zos means only Torah's Moshe, Zehadavah, that's direct dictation. Peh Peh means direct dictation.
But the Pasuk didn't say Nizkar Yom Shabbos. By the Megillah it says, the Pasuk just says remember Shabbos.
So the Gemara had a tradition that Zohar doesn't mean to remember, it means to mention. That's what they interpret. I don't know. Then Yeshua, then Moshe Rabbeinu is told the Simbi Yozne Yeshua. What's that Simbi Yozne Yeshua? So they say over from different Gedolim that the Gemara says in Bava Basra that on one occasion the Malamed was teaching the young children Timchez Zohar Amalek. You should only kill the men, not the women. And that was a mistake. You have to say Timcha Zecher Amalek, the Zecher, the memory of Amalek. So that's why it said, if you just give Yeshua ben Nun the text, he may read it once. He may read it incorrectly. Timcha Zecher Amalek. So that's why it says Simbi Ozni Yeshua. Tell him the correct pronunciation, that the word is not Zecher Amalek, the word is Zecher Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says here, he's Imoche Emche Zecher Amalek. Baruch Shalom is waging war. Muhammad Hashem Amalek Midor Dor. Baruch Shalom is going to wage war with Amalek, but we have to wage war also. Can't just Amalek represents evil in this world. Can't just rely on the Baruch Shalom. It's his world. Let's straighten out the mess. He wants us to participate in the Muhammad as well. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. Why does it say Kiyod Al Kes Ko? You should say Kiyod. Hashem puts swears by his throne. Kisa Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why is it Kes? So it should say Yud Kei Vav Kei. How come it says Ko? Because Kol Zman that Amalek is bottom, Kol Zman that there's a problem of evil. Evil problem. Problem of evil means you have Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh V'Toblu. It's how can we believe that the same God who created the world, who instituted all the Chukei HaTeva, gave us the moral, ethical, and religious principles? There's such a contradiction. You have tzaddikim who suffer, and you have rishonim who prosper. So it looks as if there's a God of good and a God of evil. It looks as if there's more than one God running the world. So it's a good tikasha. So that's what we're saying. Kol zman shamolik bo'ilom. Kol zman, you have this problem of evil. Ein akisu shalom, ein hashem shalom. Yud kei vav kei is incomplete. And kisei is spelled case. It's missing. Yerushalayim, the meaning is that in the name Yerushalayim, the city appears in Tanakh over 600 times, over 650 times. It's always spelled Chaser Yishalem, Lamed Mem, Chaser Yud, except for, I think, one or two places in Tilim where it's talking about Lasid Lovan. It's spelled Chaser, so that's why the meaning is an Iksubin and a Get. When they fill out Iksubin, they spell Yerushalayim. Chaser, why? Because Yerushalayim is referred to in Yishaya as Kisi Hashem. Yerushalayim is the capital, the official capital of Eretz Yisrael Al Pi Din. And the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eina Kisi Shalom, Kol Zman Yehav HaMolek Bo'ilom, Eina Kisi Shalom. The Ein Hashem Sholem. I mean, Ein Hashem Sholem looks as if the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incomplete. A Melech means the Melech has control. Looks as if the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have control. The perception is as if the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have control. So that's what it means, Ein Hashem Sholem. What do you mean, Ein Hashem Sholem? So Rabbi Soloveitchik explained that you have Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Yud in the beginning of a word always means Ya'aseh, always La'asid. Or so, the Hey at the end of a word always indicates past. And Hey Vav in the middle, Yud Kei Vav Kei, refers to the Hoved, to the present. So Yud Kei is Mikzas Ben Hashem HaMeforesh. The Rambam says Yud Kei is part of the Shem Hashem, but it's not the first Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's not the first Yud in Kei. It's the first Yud in the last Hei. That's what he said from his father. We speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, we speak about La'asid Lover, Yud, that's La'asid, and the Hei at the end of Yud Kei Vav Kei is La'over. The Ribbono Shel Olam used to be obvious in the past that he was the Balabas, and in the future it'll be obvious, but the Hei Vav in the middle is missing. So Yud Kei is the first Yud of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the Hei is the last Hei of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the Hoiva is missing. Bo'ilam Azeh, it is missing. We don't see the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu now. That's why Rav Moshe Soloveitchik answered the Taina of the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch says when you write Yud Kei Vav Kei, so you write Yud Kei, you already have a Shem Hashem, then you write Vav. In a certain sense, you're doing Mechikas Hashem. You're ruining the Shem Hashem. They used to say Yud Kei. Yud Kei is a Shem Hashem. One of the seven Shemas. Then you add a Vav, so it's no longer Shem Hashem. So maybe you should write the name backwards, so you shouldn't violate Mechikas Hashem. So the Minchas Chinuch quotes, there's a chiddush from one of the Achrayim, maybe based on Rishayim, that Shem Hashem has to be written Kisidra. It can't be Gora from Tefillin and Mezuzah. Tefillin and Mezuzah, the whole parasha has to be written Kisidra. You have to write in order. So Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah, that's a chumer from the Mishnah's Chachamim. Mishnah Chachamim is a sefer on the Rambam, several volumes on the Rambam. So the Pesachit Shuba quotes this. When you write Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah, you should write Kisidra. So the Minchas Chinuch suggests maybe that was the Maila, the Mishnah says in Yuma. There was one fellow who knew how to write with four pens, four different letters at the same time, and he didn't want to teach anybody else how to do the trick, and the Chachamim said he was a stinker. He was a rotten guy, should have taught the other. What's a big deal? He knows how to write standing on his head, so what's a big deal? He says, no, big deal was he wrote Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei Bevasachas. And you avoid this issue of Mechikas Hashem. If you write Yud Kei, you already have a Shem Hashem. Then you write the Vav in a certain sense, it's Mechikas Hashem. So you write all four letters Bevasachas. So that problem is solved. That's what the Minchas Chinuch suggests is the Pshat in the Mishnah. So Moshe Soloveitchik said he doesn't think that the whole Cheshbon is correct. So when you write Yud Kei, it's a, the Rambam says it's a Shem Ifnei Atzma. It's not the first Hei of Yud Kei Vav Kei, the last Hei. So when you write Yud Kei Vav Kei, you write Yud Kei, it's not the Shem Ko. Shem Ko would be if you write Yud and the last Hei of Yud Kei Vav Kei. But if you write Yud Kei Vav Kei in order, you didn't write a Shem Hashem. The Yud represents La'asid Lavoi, and the Hey represents the Ovar, and the Hoiva in the middle is missing. So you write Yud Kei Vav Kei in order, you're not doing any Mechikas Hashem.
But if you're not trying to write Yud Kei anyway, like you're just trying to write a longer, different word, then like if you write even a regular word that has the words Yud Kei, the letters Yud Kei,
Yehuda, yeah.
Or why would that be writing Hashem's name? That's not what your intention is.
Yeah, that's not. When you write Yehuda, it's not. But here he writes Yud Kei, planning to finish off Yud Kei Vav Kei. Ask Kavanah, this should be Hashem Hashem. And the Rambam says that the Shem Yud Kei is Miktsas Min Hashem Am Farsh. It has more Kedusha than the other names because of Hashem, Elikim, and Tzvakesh, and Shakai, because there's a Miktsas Min Hashem Am Farsh. So that was the question. If you write Yud Kei intending to be Mekadosh, then you add on the Vav. So in a certain sense, that should be a violation of Mechikas Hashem. You have to have kavana because the word Elohim is a lot of times chol. Dikabal baisel Elohim means loshen chol. Elohim lefarah. So that's not kodesh. And Yud Kei Vav Kei appears in Shoftim by the Pesel Micha. The Rambam and the Maror Devuchim points it out. Even Yud Kei Vav Kei sometimes appears beloshen chol. So you always have to have kavana for the Shem Hashem to be mekadosh. That it should be a Shem Hashem, shouldn't be chol. Yeah. Okay. Tov. Now I'm going to soon give a shiur on Gemara Ksubis. So.